At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Football on off the ball.
All you want to do is just play football, and it's the greatest joy in the world. And then I sometimes get caught up in thinking it's a job.
Of course,
it is a job, but it's really not. It's a game of football at the end of the day, and it's when I'm sitting there and after a bad result or whatever, and then you're like, you know what, this is supposed to be fun.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Kickoff with Cathal Minogue and Sky Sports.
Watch every Premier League match this season with Sky Sports and Sports Extra.
You're very welcome along to another episode of The Kickoff with myself, Cathal Minogue, and Off The Ball's masterman, podcast extraordinaire, Colin Buhig. How are you?
Hiya, Cathal.
As we record this, you are nominated for a podcast award, would you believe? Not for this podcast. That'll be next year. Yeah. But you're up for another award. So you're heading down to Limerick tonight as we record. How are you feeling?
Pretty good.
Well done, by the way, on being nominated, because that's what it's all about, you know? So whatever does happen tonight, if you do lose, don't worry. It's a nomination. That's the win.
The LinkedIn post will be created regardless.
Are you on LinkedIn?
Of how I created great vibes for Q4. And as a result, the KPIs were hit. Yeah, we're up for the All-Ireland Podcast Awards.
Class.
Off the Ball Breakfast, and specifically the You Had to Be There series, which has been running now for the bones of 3.5 years.
Your baby as well, isn't it, that series?
Well, yeah, I suppose there was an idea spoken one day and then it generated. Everyone's taken it on board. That's the beauty of something, you know, when everyone gets involved. So they took it on. And then we've had Danny Dyer on the show, and Armando Iannucci, and Darrow O'Brien.
Pat Short, John Myler. Dave Moore.
That's right. Dave Moore did a great one. Yeah.
I'm a fan of the series.
Yeah, it's like five best sporting events you saw in person. The only stipulation is you had to be there. And sure, we'll have to do Cathal Minogue's episode.
Someday. You know? I'm still waiting for that call. We'll do it someday when you're really struggling.
Don't think of yourself like that. Don't do yourself that, buddy.
Come here. I've actually come up with an idea because I wanted to be up for an award next year. So I said, you know what? We're not just going to do the normal chit-chat about football. No, because you know what? We're on another international break. This is the third one this season. My God, you like him. I don't anyway. Sorry. I just don't like him. Ruins the flow of the league. Anyway, every podcast can talk about what's going on in the world of football. So I'm going to kick off, excuse the pun, a new thing that we're going to do on this show.
Yeah.
And we're going to pick the all-time best 11 that have played in the Premier League from the inaugural season in 92. Come on, that's okay if I'm not sure. It's 92, everyone out there. Yeah. To now, basically.
Yeah,
we sure and we're going to, how do you feel about that?
Really excited. I'm delighted you came to me with that call.
Yeah.
You know? And what we'll do, right, is we won't just do the team. You know, in sales, Cathal, you got to give a little bit. You got to give a little bit.
Yeah.
For them to want to buy your product. I'm not going to force anyone to purchase what I'm selling. I want you to want it. Come here, let me tell you. So what we're going to do over the next, how many weeks?
Well, it's going to be 11 weeks because we're actually going to go by position.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people would say you're dragging the arse out of it. I say it deserves discussion.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
That's what you think, yeah.
It's going to be you, Colm, that has the final say, really. I'm just going to be there to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
We're also going to have suggestions from listeners.
Yeah.
If you do have any suggestions or you have any questions or you want to give out at all about which will be Colm's final say, kickoff at todayfm.com or at Colm Buhig on Instagram is where you can DM him and fire your abuse there. This team that we're going to focus on has to solely be impact, quality of play in the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. But it could just be someone that I have a graph for.
Well, I was told not to let that happen. Okay. I was told that? My boss, who you used to work with, he has told me, you can't just let him pick a United 11. So I have one rule. I am making one rule. And this isn't a big rule,
yeah.
But there can't be more than four players from one team.
But then it's not a legitimate team. Okay, we'll do our Premier League 11 that has an asterisk next to it.
Because you're just going to pick Manchester United players.
No, I won't. I'm highly offended that that man would suggest that I would do something like that, right? I'm a football lover, not a team supporter, for the case of this show. I'm not on as a resident supporter of one club, am I?
I try and not lead you down that path, but apparently if you open up the gates, you're going straight through those gates.
Listen, do you have the keys for the gates?
Yeah.
Just have them in your pocket ready to go. I don't think you need
rules
to place that limit on me, personally speaking.
Okay, well, that's okay. Okay, look, we'll back off that rule, so. But if things get out of hand...
Hey, listen, it's your name on the show, you know. I'm just here to play with you.
Well, look, obviously, we have to start with formation.
Yeah.
Is that the first thing we should do?
Yeah,
I think
sure.
We should start with formation.
Yeah, definitely.
My suggestion, right... I originally thought we'd just do 4-4-2 and just keep it at that, but I mean, you can't really do that.
You can
with more modern players. I think 4-3-3. That's what I'm thinking.
And if you want to do that, you know, but like it's 4-4-2 in the sense that the Premier League started in 1992, and the vast majority of teams played 4-4-2 up until I would say the mid 2000s. So Jose Mourinho comes in to Chelsea in the summer of 2004. And he brings with him 4-3-3, the formation that you want to play. And now, and in the last 20 years, you'd rarely see 4-4-2. But if you look at Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger's teams, and even Blackburn's in 1985, the three first three great teams in the Premier League, maybe even throw in Newcastle under Kevin Keegan if you want to, what were they all, Cahill? 4-4-2.
That was still 20 years ago, man. There's been a lot of football played since then.
But this starts in 1992?
But you also said that changed in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, but so half the Premier League.
But you're only given about 13 years.
13 years versus
of
20
that,
years.
And
you want
20.
Me to lean to... That's recency bias immediately. So now any player between 1992 and 2004 has a disadvantage.
Well, see, because now you're going to go back to the great Manchester United team and we're just going to pick all them. But I think when you're going to start thinking about Mo Salah, where would he fit on a 4-4-2?
Oh, if Mo is fortunate enough to get into this team, put him up front as part of a two. No problem.
Already, we're skipping ahead and you're thinking Alan Shearer, Harry Kane, Thierry Henry.
Such is the beauty
Wayne
of this
Rooney.
Game. So this is where it's going to get real competitive, right? Because this is truly like, how dare you leave out X, Y and Z? And you know what? That's doing a disservice to the alphabet. Bring in the whole alphabet. How are you leaving out A, B, C, etc.?
Oh, your dad jokes are awful. Absolutely awful.
And yet, you're tickled. And yet you're charmed.
At your stupidity.
A little charmed.
So what do you want to do? Do you want to see how we fare out when the argument comes? Or do you want to say 4-3-3 and that's what we're going
with? I'll go for 4-3-3, listen.
4-3-3.
You're driving.
4-3-3 is our formation. I'm glad we got that far. And obviously, there has to be one man between the sticks. Now, I said we get some suggestions of who would be in goal.
Yeah.
Okay, now there are two men from Tipperary. They go by the same name, Johnny. Johnny B and Johnny Smacks.
Right.
They are the two Johnnies. I asked them, best goalkeeper to play in the Premier League ever.
I'm going to have to go for Alisson, all right? People say I'm biased because I'm a Liverpool fan. But if anyone said Peter Schmeichel, look back through the clips and see how many times he got chipped. I don't know if chipping was just a thing in the 90s, but Peter Schmeichel got chipped a hell of a lot. Think about that 99 final. United against Bayern Munich. He gets chipped twice against the crossbar. So
who gets chipped twice?
Peter Schmeichel, that.
Oh, God, you know, I actually used to be a big fan of Van der Sar. I just like saying his name.
So there's top quality analysis from the two Johnnies, Van der Sar and Alisson, because Peter Schmeichel gets chipped too much. Later on in the show, we're going to have Eamon Donnelly from the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club. I also asked him.
This, you know, it'll pain me to say it, but I'm going to say Schmeichel, you know.
Wow, I thought you might say David Seaman. Just thought loyalty would get you there.
Seaman was great, but I actually, from an Arsenal perspective, I actually thought Lehmann was better.
Really?
Even though he was only with us for 3 or 4 years, he was a sweeper keeper 20 years ahead of his time, Cole, you know?
So now, four names thrown into the mix there already.
Wow, wow, wow. Listen, Kyle, I don't know who those first two guys are, those two Johnny guys, right?
Oh, you're from Cork.
But yes. Dad, I don't know who they are, but at least you gave them a platform. That's good. Those two guys could do something there.
Let's try my best to help out their career.
You know, the first guy says Alisson. And then Freddie admits, I'm a Liverpool supporter. I'm not being biased, you know. I'm not being biased is another way of saying, no offence, but while I massively offend you, yeah. But I've given this buffer beforehand so you can't say anything against me. This is the problem with this list. This is going to be the subjectivity of humans that gets them in trouble, right? And Van der Sar was another suggestion. And then it was David Seaman and Jens Lehmann. Four great shouts. Yeah, no problem there. This is the beautiful thing about this game.
Yeah.
So many.
This isn't a game. This is serious journalism. Any other honourable mentions? Can I throw in Shea Given there?
Oh, you can.
You're not accepting that one.
You can. Yeah, Shea Given was a fine shot stopper. You know, there's loads of shouts here we could go. You know, like there's Bruce Grabler. A lot of love for him, you know. Spaghetti legs in the goal line. But his best days were long past him when the Premier League started.
I'm sure football didn't exist back then.
I don't know what happened before 92.
That's what Gary Lineker will tell you.
They were very good. Then you'd have Tim Flowers. Let's give Tim his flowers.
I knew you'd do it.
So Blackburn win the league in 1995 and he's the goaltender, but people will remember there's a big mistake, big boo-boo he made against Stan Collymore. Playing for Liverpool where a shot bobbled over his arms. I'll show it to you. It's a remarkable mistake.
Well, there, he's out of the question.
And so then you, like, what about Leeds, Cahill? What about Nigel Martin at Leeds? What about Paul Robinson, his understudy, young fellow who came in and usurped him as the first choice Leeds United goalkeeper? That great Leeds team in the turn of the century under David O'Leary, you know? What
Top
about
shout.
Those boys?
Yeah.
David Seaman's been mentioned. What about Sander Westerveld, the Liverpool goalkeeper? Their first choice. He and Jerzy Dudek would exchange jerseys, metaphorically, when Liverpool were winning the treble 2000-2001, and then of course won the Champions League 2005. What about them? Then you got Joe Hart, now a very good pundit, got a hair transplant, head and shoulders and all that.
It does look great, actually. Strange tattoo on his arm when you're watching him on Match of the Day.
It looks like it's a bit of dirt.
Yeah, it's not great.
David De Gea. David De Gea signs for Manchester United in 2011 and is too lightweight. So on his debut against Manchester City in the Community Shield, a shot from distance by Nzeko squirts under his body.
Edin Dzeko tried his luck. David De Gea, Manchester United's new £18 million goalkeeper, found wanting.
And Wayne Rooney is thinking, this guy's not up to the level. And then he packs on a few pounds. They win the league in 2013. And for the 2010s, in the middle of it, De Gea is consistently named Manchester United's player of the season.
Yeah.
Kind of forgotten about now because he was shafted out of the club at the end. Who else do we have? Shaka Hislop for Newcastle, mid-90s. Pavel Cernicek, another fine goalkeeper. Do you know what's lost in the art of goalkeeping these days? Long pants. You know, some goalkeepers wore tracksuit pants.
Yeah.
You're thinking Gabor Kerali, the Crystal Palace cult hero. He wore actual grey tracky bottoms.
What year was he playing though?
Early to mid 2000s. And he never wore shorts. And then every so often, Peter Schmeichel would wear kind of spandex in a far-flung European game. And he never played well when he wore them. And they're kind
Some of
gone
now. Some padding at the side.
Yeah, yeah, they're, yeah, yeah. But it was great when it was like proper tracksuit pants was what Kerali wore. He was another option for sure. Neville Southall, Carl, did you be an Arsenal supporter and touch us there?
Yeah.
The two lads called Johnny.
Yeah.
Is there any Everton fans out there? We have an Everton fan downstairs, actually, John Fardy, the movie reviewer for News Talk, Everton supporter. Neville Southall. Now, again, Big Nev probably saw his best days in the 80s before football was official. In the 90s, maybe slightly past it. Unbelievable. Goalkeeper in his day.
Nominated for a Ballon d'Or in 1985 and 87.
Yeah, like everything winning European Cups, you know? Incredible. What about Brad Friedel?
Brad Friedel,
right? The great American.
Stood on the edge of the box, left footed, comes up, tries to kill it in the bottom corner, and Friedel now saves! Well, can you believe it? This amazing game takes another twist. Brad Friedel dives to his right and parries away David Unsworth's penalty. Can Friedel perform his heroics yet again? Might save Rovers. Hull steps up. Friedel saves again! Quinn gets a shot in, but it's saved by Brad Friedel, and quite remarkably, the American goalkeeper has now saved two penalties at Bramall Lane.
Blackburn Rovers and Aston Villa. Blackburn fans will tell you, like, an all-time great.
Yeah.
What a goalkeeper, you know, very, very solid. Like, if we had to play a game against, say, a La Liga 11, and we had to, like, emergency pick a Premier League 11 of all time, I'd have no qualms if Brad was the only availability to go on goal. Solid out, like.
Yeah.
Real solid.
Brad Friedel.
Yeah, real solid. What about? Checkmate himself, Petter. Petter checked this one out because he was serious goalkeeper when the aforementioned Jose Mourinho came in, 2004, brought Petr Cech with him. And for a few years, he didn't have the scrum cap on. Because that was prior to the Stephen Hunt collision against Reading.
Yeah.
So we really, when you think of Petr Cech now, you think of the scrum cap. Was his legacy slightly tainted by going from Chelsea to Arsenal? Possibly. But very, very solid goalkeeper.
He's my pick.
And he's your pick?
Yeah.
Petr Cech.
Yeah.
Do you have a Chelsea allegiance?
I don't know. Well, not at all. My brother actually does support Chelsea, but I didn't even think of that.
There you go. Cech, yeah, he would be the maker of some unbelievable saves.
202 clean sheets.
Wow. Yeah, and he was a huge reason that Chelsea did so well under Mourinho.
4 Premier League titles. Mm-hmm. Just consistent.
Exactly. But he would be capable of the spectacular, particularly his first few years for Chelsea. He'd make some astonishing saves. Kind of unbeatable. It felt like he was a bit unbeatable because I think, was it Mourinho's first season or second season, or maybe both of those campaigns were, they conceded F all goals. In like 38 games, I think they were in the teens for conceding. And like, it was because they had a great core. John Terry and Ricardo Carvalho and all that, and Ashley Cole, like, what a team. But
who was right back?
Paulo Ferreira.
Ferreira.
Would have started it, yeah. And then eventually it was Jose Basingua. Basingua.
Essien, Frank Lampard, exactly. Drogba.
Now you're getting it, Ballack.
Ballack.
Joe Cole, Damien Duff, Arjen Robben.
Ah, yeah.
Festoon of quality, but they needed a goalkeeper. And Peter, they sure had one. So he's an option for sure.
Go on. Who's the best?
I would
say. In your opinion.
In my opinion, Colin, thank you for asking me on this show with you today. The best goalkeeper, I would say, in Premier League history is Kasper's daddy,
Peter Schmeichel.
Flicked on by it, right out. Oh, what a save by Schmeichel. A quite sensational save. Gets it from Ince. It's a terrific ball for Robbie Fowler. Schmeichel saves.
What a save. It's times like that when goalkeepers show the true worth. It's worth every bit as much as a goal from Andy Cole. That save that Peter Schmeichel produced there. Fowler's on to it in a flash. It's a magnificent save. Not a good save, magnificent save.
Not a good save, a magnificent save.
Yeah, he's the best, Cahill. He's the best, you know. He is, you know, like...
Why?
You know, people say, oh, he got chipped a lot, but that just kind of adds to it. He was unstoppable on his day. I'll just take you to the 1995-96 season alone. That's all I need to tell you, right? So, what happened that season?
United won the league.
Newcastle were 12 points ahead. 12 points ahead by March, right? So, Eric Cantona comes back in October that year. They win a load of games 1-0 because of Eric Cantona scoring a goal. But they also won a load of games 1-0 because of Peter Schmeichel. And there was a game at St. James's Park, which is the perfect symbol of that. 0-1 had finished. Cantona got the winner. In the first half alone, Newcastle should have been about 4 or 5 up, but for Schmeichel. So he would do this spread eagle thing like a starfish when he was 1-1 with them. And Paul Gascoigne was always saying, Schmeichel's easy, you just put it through his legs. But because he was such a dominant figure coming out, he wouldn't even give you the chance to even think about putting it through his legs for most players. So he'd almost overwhelm you with his presence. And I always noted that after every goalkeeper after Schmeichel left, was like, none of them talk anywhere near as much as he did. He was just constantly verbalising with his defence particularly, or with his whole team. Now, I'd say that annoyed the life out of them. And Roy Keane would always suggest, oh, it was a bit performative at times, you know, that he was doing that and whatever, you know, there was a bit of skepticism.
They had their history.
Exactly, they had their history. But I always was very reassured that he was in goal for that reason. It was an unbelievable presence about him. Super focused. And he just quite simply would make miraculous saves that kind of defy the look of him. He just had that mentality where he belonged at the biggest stage. And it was a fundamental reason United won so many Premier League titles. Not to mention Denmark winning Euro 92 with him in goal.
And it's incredible that his son then went on to become the goalkeeper that he is, winning a Premier League himself.
I mean, fair play to Casper is that people stopped mentioning his dad after a while and that he was a good goalkeeper in his own right. But yeah, you're right. Imagine being the goalkeeper after that goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And then he subsequently said he regrets leaving United when he did. He left at the end of the treble winning season, which was a nice bow on a great career at United. And then he kind of floundered a bit and he was at Sporting Lisbon. And then when he went back to England, he signed for Manchester City. So I think a few United fans would be a bit...
There's that great clip of when they're going down the tunnel and then they have to swap over places and
Gary Neville refuses.
Puts his hands up out of the way, will not shake Peter Schmeichel's hand because he's in the City jersey. I felt like that was going to be the case. I felt like our number one was going to be Peter Schmeichel. One vote for Manchester United, but look, we've no cap on the team, so... No cap on the team, but this can't be an 11, Manchester United.
Don't worry about it.
Peter Schmeichel is our goalkeeper. We got there. And do you know what? I think we all knew where it was going to end up once that train left the station.
Did you like the suggestions of other goalkeepers?
The beauty of that was you brought us down memory lane. You certainly brought me down memory lane with the likes of Brad Friedel. That brings me back to Match Attacks. Right Back is next week. Kickoff at todayfm.com is where you can send your suggestions. Please bring us down memory lane again because you had a few crackers there. Colin, best of luck tonight in the awards. Award!
After his speech, it'll have to be absolutely brilliant. It's not every day you win an award.
Award!
No, Father, you can't have an award.
Why not? Award! Award!
Yes,
award!
Father.
Award!
Yes,
award.
Father.
Award!
Yes, Father! Award. Father. Yes, award. Father! There you are.
Right! Photo!
Dougal, take a photograph.
That'll be you tonight now. Photo.
Just do it.
Thank you very much. The very best of luck to you. I'll talk to you again next week where you'll have your right back. On the way, a man who's sitting pretty at the very top of the Premier League, Eamon Donnelly. He's from the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club. He's on the way.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/football. Fuel Points TC.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
The Kickoff with Cathal Minogue and Sky Sports.
Since it's another international break and this is the third one this season actually, we thought it's a good time to talk to a fan who's sitting fairly pretty at the top of the league. It's about time we got an Arsenal fan on the show. 4 points clear at the top of the league, 26 points, 11 games played. Eamon Donnelly, he's from the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club, and he's one of the many voices that you will regularly hear on the Dublin Arsenal podcast. How are you doing, Eamon?
All doing well, Cathal. We're a bit easier to find Arsenal fans these days than we used to be.
yeah, you're loud and proud, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I've been an Arsenal fan for, 54 years now, you know.
This is a pretty good time, right? Were you expecting to be talking here in November and looking pretty healthy at the top of the league? Hard to score against you, playing some great football. Although a lot of people might say it's not the most exciting football to watch, I will say last weekend against Sunderland was pretty exciting to watch. Maybe not so much for yourself, but it's a good time. You're looking fairly solid.
Yeah, I think we learned a lesson last season, Cathal, when we thought adding Mikel Merino to the squad was the missing piece because we'd run Man City to a point the season before. And then we got a plethora of injuries, which exposed actually the squad depth wasn't what it needed to be. And we addressed that this summer. But when the fixtures came out for the first six games of the season, you were looking at those fixtures kind of going, we're going to have a bit of ground to make up. And if we were sitting in going into the November international break within 2 to 3 points of the lead, we'd be in a good spot. So it's a bit of a bonus territory to be to actually have a lead, given the fixtures that we've had. And also, I know we can't, we're not really in a position to complain about injuries given the depth of the squad we have, but it's amazing that we got a cluster of injuries right across the forward line, with Havertz, Jesus, Gyökeres and so on, Madueke. But I think given what the circumstances, I think we're in a really healthy spot. Just on the football we're playing, I've heard people say it mightn't be the most exciting, but I'd say more than any other team, Cahill, we face 11 men behind the ball in what they now call a low block more than any other team. Teams play against us in their own ground and they set up that way. So it's inevitable that that's going to be hard to break down. And statistically, it's inevitable that if that's the way the game is going to pan out, you're going to get more set pieces. So if you get more set pieces, you might as well try and be good at them, you know. And I think we've managed to do that.
Yeah, you are very, very good at set pieces. And you are defending incredibly well. I mean, before the game against Sunderland, you were looking to keep a club record 9th clean sheet in a row, which is absolutely incredible. Do you even care how you play as long as you win? I mean, sometimes, you know, fans could want the best of everything. But at the end of the day, it's a 22-year title drought is what you have in the league, you know. So does it really matter what way you play and what people think about the style of play?
Well, go back to 2008 when a very young Arsene Wenger team, the second Arsene Wenger team, if you like, should have won the league. And Eduardo broke his leg that season. Ruzicki got crocked. We were a bit showing his cup, but we played beautiful football that season, right? And then if you look at the late Wenger years after that, there were times when we played absolutely beautiful football, but the atmosphere in the ground was toxic. Because the team didn't seem to have any direction. It was nestling in. We were achieving top four all the time. People's expectations were a bit higher. So I think the answer to your question is there's a hunger for us to win the title. To be honest with you, I think fans want to see us win. But I do put, I don't accept the fact that we don't play good football. I think that if teams came out and played us, we play a lot better football. But teams are smart enough and savvy enough to know that if you try that with the Arsenal, that we'll play through you. And in fairness to the Arteta and the coaching staff, they've had to do a lot of work to try and work on opening up channels to get through teams in that low block. But I mean, that kind of game, the game is changing as well, Cahill. I mean, there's a lot more reliance on long ball, long throw, set pieces than there had been in recent seasons, you know.
And how do you feel now when we're at this international break? I mean, there's a long way to go yet. Do you feel confident? Sometimes you wonder, would you rather be chasing than being chased? How do you feel at this stage of the season?
Well, the way I always look at that, by the way, I think the age profile of the squad and the squad depth is sufficient enough not to worry about whether you're out there and you're going to blow a lead. You know?
Okay, yeah.
I mean,
at
the end of the day, the way I see it is, it's a bit like a darts player hitting a treble 20. If you keep hitting treble 20s or you keep getting your 3 points every week, does it really matter whether you're chasing or whether you're ahead? At the end of the day, they tot up the points. I always say on the podcast, you know, it was very important that we won when Man City dropped points. I don't buy into that. I think you've got to concentrate on getting your own 3 points. And what I will say is, sometimes the reaction to dropping a couple of points is we're either the best in the world or the worst in the world. But we went into the last international break a point ahead of Liverpool and 3 ahead of City. And then we're 4 ahead of City and 8 ahead of Liverpool. So that can't be bad.
No.
So, but there's a long way to go. And, you know, there's 90 odd points to play for. So you wouldn't be You wouldn't be singing opera about it at the moment, but we're in a good place, you know.
Yeah, totally. You mentioned the podcast there, so you're a part of the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club. You have your own podcast, the Dublin Arsenal Podcast. Also, one of your roles in the Supporters Club is ticket liaison officer. Now, I'm not a part of any Supporters Club, Eamon, but something tells me that's one of the hardest jobs to have.
It is, and I'll tell you what I noticed, Cahill. I noticed after COVID, when I went back, I go to every home game, right? But I noticed after COVID, when I went back to going to football, that people had missed it. And that, as much as anything, put an increased demand on tickets. Not just because you're top of the league or you're competing for the league. There's a demand to attend games now because people saw what it was like when we were watching football on with no crowds. So that kind of put a big demand. And a lot of people are joining the supporters club. We've about 400 members here in Dublin, and we get about 20 tickets for every game, you know, and that brings its own problem. But you try and be fair with people. You try and see that everybody can get to go at least once or twice a season, and we try and make sure that we accommodate people. But it is a tough job. But as I said, we get about 20 tickets. We actually get more tickets, I think, than proportionally other supporters club get. But that's because Dublin has always sent over a large travelling contingent.
Would you all travel over together then? Would that be the way it would work?
I don't know. People make their own arrangements. We organise tickets and people make their own arrangements. But there's a few of us now who nearly know each other's movements without even asking, you know. So we tend to have a few hostelries where we'd kind of congregate and we'd be familiar with the area. And, you know, some people go over and back in a day. Sometimes if it's a later kickoff, you stay overnight. So we're a fairly collegiate bunch and we kind of know what each other's doing, you know.
Did you say you go over to every home game? Do you literally mean every home game?
Well, I was at, I think it was at 20 games last year. That wow. Includes a couple of Champions League games. I'd miss an occasional one. You know, if work demanded my working on a Saturday or something like that. But by and large, I plot my games to with the intent of going to them all.
That's some dedication. Not the cheapest hobby to have, you know. Some people support Bohemians or they support Shamrock Rovers a lot closer to home.
Well, but, just on that, I got the Bohemians on a Friday night, so...
Do you?
Well, there you go.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Northside boy, but no, but look, I mean, that's... lucky enough, Cottle, I'm at the age in life where I can do that. You couldn't always, and... I don't drive a Jaguar and I don't go to Hollywood or Vegas, so the Arsenal is my pursuit, you know.
54 years you're a fan of Arsenal, you must have some fantastic days. Would there be any memory that would come to mind that would stand out?
Oh, well, over my entire lifetime, I think I played in a band and I missed the 89 moment when Michael Thomas scored the winner, because back then we didn't have mobile phones and all that type of stuff. But
what did you play in the band? You have to tell us what you played in the band.
It was a Friday night, the 26th of May. So I ended up watching that in my mother's on a video recording.
And were you a singer, drummer, guitarist? What are you doing in the band?
A guitar player.
What was the name of the band? The Gunners.
We're a modern ska band, so the band name is the Rods and Mockers, and we do the team tune for the Dublin Arsenal podcast. So there you go.
Sorry to interrupt Eamon there, but I think we need to hear the intro song to the Dublin Arsenal podcast performed by the Rods and Mockers. There you go, the Rods and Mockers. Not bad at all. Now back to Eamon.
A big moment for me, was when Wenger came along and we won the league in 98 when nobody expected us to. And I remember when Tony Adams half volleys a left foot shot into the top corner, you're onto something, you know.
Yeah.
So that was a big moment. But in terms of individual moments, in recent years, Reece Nelson, 97th minute goal against Bournemouth. I have never heard a noise in a football ground like that day, you know.
Cleared only as far as Nelson has to get his shot right. Oh, that is unbelievable! Gutting for Bournemouth, glorious for Arsenal. In this extraordinary season for the Gunners, they've come up with another extraordinary moment.
Not a bad moment for Reece Nelson to have as well. Wow, just the noise, even coming through the commentary there, you can just hear the place absolutely rocking.
Yeah, it was rocking. And I was right behind where Reece was when he picked up that ball down the far end. But I'm thinking, you know, if he hits this, but it's hard. When I watch the games in the lower clock end, Carl, and it's hard to kind of see sometimes how far the player is out from the goal from there, you know. But yeah, that was a great moment. I think a lot of Arsenal fans would say that over the last number of years that is the moment that really they kind of knew, you know, we're onto something different here under Arteta. The club has gone places. It's exciting, and that captured it all in one moment, you know.
Did you ever think in the glory years that you've had, did you ever think that you'd be waiting 22 years for another title?
Of course. Sure, I waited from 1971 to 1989. I thought that was normal.
Fair enough. Yeah, you were primed and ready for this.
I'll tell you when I met Liam Brady in the airport one time. We'd been away at West Ham. He was sitting in front of me in the plane. And he saw a little cannon on my jumper and started talking to me. He was great. I had a great 10-minute conversation. But we got talking about the team that he broke into and how it was a break. The team that had won the double in 71 broke up. And, you know, there was a lot of young fellas. And the Arsenal fans of today wouldn't actually kind of contemplate. We were very close to being relegated twice in the 70s. So that was my staple diet. So, you know, well, I don't want the 22-year wait to go on much longer. We've been through that type of famine before, you know.
So, is this your season, Eamon?
I wouldn't be a blind optimist. My biggest worry about the Arsenal is the intensity with which they train, the intensity with which they do everything. Can players sustain that right to the finishing post? How much does it take out of you? But it's the intent. You've got to measure up the intensity versus the squad size. And I'm just looking at, like, you've got White and Timber, two excellent fullbacks on one side. Calafiori, Moisés, Skelly on the other. You've got Mosquera and Hinsapi. Before, if anything had happened to Saliba, Gabriel, you were in meltdown. That's not the case. Royce, Norgaard, Zubimendi in the middle. Saka and Medweki. Saka's already been out this season. You've got Medweki. Mm-hmm. You've got Eze, Odegaard, Manieri, Martinelli, Trossard. I don't think there's another squad in the league that has that depth. I'm very impressed with Man City. But they're younger, they're faster, they're more agile. And sometimes with a team like that, you know, if they're not fully developed, they can have a switch-off moment. I think Man City are kind of a bit like where we were 2 years ago, you know?
Yeah, they're kind of in transition small, but aren't they? It's not the same Pep Man City team that won the four league titles in a row.
No, but they're very good. And but I just think that they're probably, you know, people say, well, Man City have done this, that and the other to us before. Not those players, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's exciting. It's a good time to get you on. I'd say a lot of the members of the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club are fairly happy now, and I would imagine your phone is like a politician's phone at times when it's time for the next match and there's people looking for tickets, and I'd say the phone is absolutely hopping.
The worst thing is that we take the orders 10, 11 weeks in advance, so you know, every time an order goes in, you're looking back over your phone, you know, oh my God. But look, it's a labour of love. I won't complain. Arsenal supporters have been very patient with us, and they're good. They don't have, in terms of tickets, they don't have an overwhelming sense of entitlement. I think they're happy to try and get accommodated, you know.
Is there still a door open for other Arsenal fans to join the supporters club if they want? Can they get in touch with you? Or
yeah, we're closed now until the closed season.
Okay. They can actually, the Instagram page that you have is really good for any Arsenal fans out there that want to see what the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club is all about. And then maybe for next season, when the door opens again, they can get in touch about membership, yeah?
And that being said, then there's nothing to stop people who haven't become a member coming and watching the games with us and having the social experience. There's nothing to prevent that whatsoever, you know?
You meet up in Dublin sometimes. Is it the River Bar on the...
The River Bar, yeah, the River Bar on the, just on the south side of O'Connell Bridge there.
Yeah,
that's
it's
where we meet.
For people that are listening that are not from Dublin, it's the big bar that has the big Heineken sign along it. I don't know, does it still do, but it's fairly iconic, isn't it?
Yeah. No, the sign is still there and the clock is still there and the River Bar is underneath those. Yeah,
a good spot to watch a match, I'd say. Eamon, enjoy the season. Best of luck for it. It's looking pretty good. Enjoy going over and back. I'd imagine they're great days out, and you're a local over there at this stage, going over and back this much. hopefully, for your sake, the 22-year title drought will finish up this season. All the best, Eamon.
All right, pleasure, Carl. Thank you.
The Kickoff with Cathal Minogue and Sky Sports.
Watch every Premier League match this season with Sky Sports and Sports Extra.